This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Hello again. Welcome into Crew Call here on Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks to make cars go around in circles and left and right on road courses and all of the fun stuff we love about NASCAR racing. Steve Post, lead pit reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined as I am each and every week by 25-time winning crew chief, championship winning crew chief, Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I'll tell you what, my man, you get the gig to get out and crew chief for Jimmy Johnson. And boy, I'm telling you what, you guys got about 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
19/20 of a lap.
19/20 of a lap, exactly. About, wow. It's racing. We all understand that. All understand that that's an option, but that doesn't mean it's got to be a little frustrating to not get a chance to call some shots throughout the course of a day.
Yeah, all set up by struggles on Friday. I think we had a lot to learn and we missed our balance. So you miss Friday and take the 50-minute practice. It's hard to work on these cars. I'm learning this whole thing as we go on. You got two rookies here, and Jimmy and myself. We may have a lot of wins in the past, but they're different race cars. So we missed it on Friday, and that led to where we qualified on Saturday. I felt like we were better than that. We didn't give him enough of a balance and enough of a car to in Friday to have any idea what would happen Saturday. So,
sure.
Qualify back there and you become a victim of those things. That's just part of being back there. That's why qualifying is so important. That's why practice is so important and doing it right. And we made some bad assumptions. I will make better ones going forward, but learning the tools that we've got, we missed some things. So it is what it is. And we got 19/20 of a lap in.
There you go. Absolutely.
Kind of got caught up. You know, right. The six car spun there, and Ty Dillon got spun off the nose, I think, of Chris Buescher.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid that and came across. We were well clear of it, but it came to us.
The aftermath of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody talks about it. We bent a toe link, but we bent the hardware that fastens the toe link. Like the stud was actually bent as well.
Oh, okay. So
getting that off was a challenge, and we'll be better prepared to do that in the future. Again, one of those learning situations, but it's unfortunate where it ended up for the Club Wyndham, '84 car, and we'll go on to work our preparation for the 600.
It is. It's amazing. It really is. And I think that just states something you've talked about here. There is so much different about this race car.
Yeah.
And the teams that are doing it full time now, what are we at? They're at 41, 42 races working on this car.
And we're on two.
You're on two. Exactly.
So we're behind, and we've got things to sort out, but we'll work hard at it. And now we have a little better understanding of what some of the tools can do. So outside of that, what a great weekend.
Yeah.
I think some great stuff there. You know, Tyler Reddick was on fire. It'd be fun. We get to talk to Billy Scott later today. Mm-hmm. That's what our program is here. Crew chief for Tyler Reddick. They unloaded up. I mean, they were the best car when the lift gate dropped down. The whole weekend. I think we all knew it. You looked at the lap times in practice, and they were phenomenally fast. Didn't win the pole, but started in the front row, and they were the best car there.
Yeah, and the best car ended up winning.
By far the best car there, and even through the chaos of all the restarts and what happens there, they ended up doing the right things. I thought Tyler did the right things. There's been some criticism about missing braking zones and things like that and losing, but with a car that good, you need not to get run over. And I think he did a good job in that. So ultimately, the best car won.
What did we learn about the rules, new rules, the rules package? What did we learn about that for the first road course race?
They're a handful. They are a handful. You've got less downforce, you're slipping and sliding, and it makes it where the driver has to drive the cars. And it's interesting there. I don't think the choose rule had a lot to do with changing things up there. Although you did see, I think when Kyle Busch was second, he picked second row inside behind Tyler because he felt like that was his best advantage. So that gives the drivers an opportunity to make a decision. So I feel like that was good. The downforce was, I mean, you make them harder to drive. We usually put on a better show, and I think it was pretty good racing.
Pretty good racing, no doubt. The end got a little bit messy, but you'll have this.
That's part of these. I mean, there's two racetracks that I feel like that struggle with this. It's going to be COTA and Indy.
Right.
And it's a fact that there's so much asphalt getting to turn one.
Right.
You know, you can be six wide. Both of these places, you've got so much asphalt that's funneling into really two lanes.
Two lanes.
And it just invites drivers to be aggressive and you know, take the braking zone deep and put people five wide. And, you know, like Watkins Glen has a similar 90-degree corner, but you've got walls down both sides. You've got Armco on the left, and you've got the wall to the pit road on the right.
You get three, and
three
you're probably
wides
pushing.
All you can get. Yeah. So that our racetrack actually confines the drivers from being crazy. these two places don't. It'll be interesting to see how it goes forward.
Good stuff, that's for sure. We talked a little bit, and we are going to talk to Billy Scott, crew chief for Tyler Reddick. A couple of guys we've spent a lot of time this year talking about, Randall Burnett and Kyle Busch, solid day. And you know, Kyle wasn't 100% sure they had a second place car, but boy, they just soldiered it out and did a nice job.
They didn't have a second place car. Randall Burnett manufactured a finish for him. If you look at it, we had the caution at 42. Everybody's just outside the fuel window. They're two to four laps short on fuel. People trying to save fuel. Kyle's running 12. He's buried back there. That's about where he was.
Yeah.
And Randall made the call. He says, I'm going to go ahead and split this in half. And they pitted, put four tires on about three laps before the caution came at lap with 10 to go.
Right.
And they stayed out and cycled forward. And then Kyle Busch did what Kyle Busch is capable of doing.
Sure. You give him position.
Tire fall off was not that big. It really wasn't. There were some people that speculated it was going to be big. I didn't think it would. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys could run lap times. Road courses don't tend to have, other than Sonoma.
Right.
Sonoma will go and we'll see that. But we didn't see a lot of tire fall off. Randall Burnett, brought him to pit road, fill him up with fuel, put four tires on it, put him in a position where he could cycle him forward and let Kyle do his thing. He got the lead at one of those restarts.
I know he did, yeah.
So, I mean, kudos to Randall for exercising the options he had and understanding where he was. And making the most of it.
No doubt. Good stuff, that's for sure. Blake Harris, we had him on a few weeks ago, a third place finish. They continue to be good. I also like the story of making good out of chaos. We talked about those overtimes. A couple of teams made good out of the chaos. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., career first top 10 on a road course. Mike Kelly, they kept him alive, and they had some issues throughout the course of the day, but ended up with a seventh place finish. And Ryan Burgundy and Todd Gilliland, a 10th place finish. Good to see some of those teams getting up there with top 10 finishes.
Yeah. Keeping themselves clean. That's actually in all the chaos at the end. If you could manufacture a little bit, keep yourself out of it, you're going to be in a good spot.
Yes, indeed. And they did, for sure. Good stuff from COTA and really good stuff from 2311 Racing. Man, oh man, did they go down there. You mentioned it, Todd, when they rolled the gate down on that truck, they had the best car. The guy that oversees that operation, Billy Scott, is crew chief, and he joins us next here on Crew Call.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone. With Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, and let's go right to the Zoom call. Joining us from over at 2311 Racing is winning crew chief from the race Sunday afternoon at COTA. Billy Scott joins us. Hello, Billy. Congratulations. What a great weekend you guys had.
Good morning. Thank you very much. And you don't get a chance to live those out. So it was a fun weekend.
When did you know? Okay, Todd Gordon in our opening said before you guys or when you guys lowered the lift gate on Friday, you guys had the upper hand with that race car. When did you know you had such a good car? When did you feel really good about your race car?
Yeah, no, he's right. And we felt that way just, you know, between obviously having Tyler Reddick come on board and his success last year on road courses. And then, you know, having to been fortunate enough to go to the test over the offseason, you know, unloaded good, but knew we had some stuff to work on. And through a lot of hard work of his and everybody here at 2311 and the sim group and stuff, we, you know, worked on those things for months and made a lot of what we thought were good advancements and left us very optimistic. But man, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to not let Tyler down. You know, it's not the driver for sure when we get there. So if we were not competitive, it was definitely going to be on us and manufacturer and as a team. And, you know, so we had the confidence. And when we unloaded and it was about lap two or three into practice, and I said, oh, man, they're in trouble. You know, it was that's the reality. And it was cool to see that play out and to have that speed and just sat back and watched him at that point.
Talk about the anxiety that having a car that's good brings to the crew chief sitting on the box for calling the race.
Totally different than what we experienced most of the time. And, you know, we talked about it last night that the fastest car doesn't always or seldom wins the race. So, yeah, certainly puts everything in a new perspective. You start focusing on what, you know, not, you don't want to go in focusing on mistakes, but what to do right, execute right, and just play it safe in some respects. I mean, that's kind of was our mentality and going into the strategy side of it and just making sure we execute everything, had a good plan and, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's and not give him, not make an error for him.
And so, okay. Then let me go into that. The playing it safe piece. Were you concerned when most of the top 15 didn't pit with you at that caution at lap 13? I mean, and then I guess beyond that, did you think about staying out for the stage win and the bonus point?
No. Honestly, when you go into it with that speed and the expectation of winning, we saw this is our chance to win. We're not going to let any you know, stage points along the way influence that. That was definitely clear in our minds. And, you know, we had the mentality of a three stop from the beginning, you know, as close together as the two strategies looked to play out. If fall off was what we predicted, you know, during practice, unfortunately, a yellow came out and didn't really have a great feel for the long run speed and fall off. But that's what we felt was going to be the right way going into it. You know, had early yellow that kind of played into it. And when that yellow fell, we debated about it for a minute, but it was early enough in the race that we wanted to make sure we stayed on the advantage side of tires and fuel and all of that. So, yes, we were a little bit surprised at how many cars stayed out. We certainly knew that the ones we were racing were, at least some of them, were going to just do the opposite of us. And it was one of those borderline calls that, to seven laps on tires and two refires, does that matter enough to put new tires on? And how many spots does it matter? It's a toss up. There's obviously not a 100% right call or the whole field does the same thing. But so we were a little surprised by how many cars stayed out. But at the same time, our mentality was we're going to stay on the aggressive side. When we come to a situation like that where somebody was going to have an advantage and somebody was going to have a disadvantage, we wanted to be on the advantageous side, and not that we needed a tire advantage. Just if someone was going to be at a disadvantage, we didn't want to be that car. That's when you get taken advantage of. It's when you get put in a vulnerable spot. And, you know, certainly there's risk coming through the field when you have to restart back in the teens like we did. But, you know, Tyler executed that perfectly. He made very short work of cars that were on similar tires and started marching through the field pretty quick. And it was only a few laps that we were in a concerning spot and behind.
What's that relief factor like when you pull the strategy and you find yourself mid-pack back there, back in the teens? What's that relief factor like when it gets clear, when it gets up in the top three or top five and know that the strategy didn't bite you by somebody running you off the racetrack or anything? What's the relief factor as a crew chief when that works out?
Yeah, that was big, no doubt. Those couple laps there when he was working his way past them, that's where the dangerous part is. And like I said, some of those guys, when they were at a disadvantage, they were worried about their own race. They were trying to make the most of it. They just earned their stage points before the restart. So it was early enough in the race, too, that I think most guys weren't willing to put themselves at risk either. You know, they have a faster car coming, you know, the fastest car anyway, but also on a 7-8 lap tire advantage. You know, so I think all of them did a great job of just showing respect to them and not holding them up and not putting themselves or us at risk. So, you know, it was a little bit nerve-wracking at times between that and the fuel mileage stuff. But like I said, it played out well and pretty quickly knew that, yes, it worked out. We were going to be on both a tire and fuel advantage for the rest of the race if it went green. And honestly, we're still – our whole goal with doing that was to just minimize the number of laps that an untimely caution would negatively affect us. And that exists no matter what. So if you're on two-stop strategy, three-stop, you're pitting here, you're running long, there's always a chance the caution comes out at the wrong lap, somebody's going to be a big loser and somebody's going to be on, you know, gain a lot. So we just wanted to make those number of laps that was possible as few as we could. And you know, we did have some untimely cautions, but had some other ones fall our way. So it fortunately worked out well.
You alluded to it earlier, but you know, the effort that's gone into the road course program, right? Toyota is, I think as a whole, it was documented last year. Road courses were a struggle at times, but got to be going to that tire test and then getting back to the simulator helped you guys push this program forward and talk about how much effort went into that.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes, like you said, well documented that was not the strong suit of the manufacturer and as a whole. And you know, there were changes made over the off season from all manufacturers with the front ends for different reasons. And we obviously go back here with a different aero package, even then we test it. So, you know, it was a little bit of both there. So we had that going into the season. We were optimistic about it. We definitely put a lot of effort into knowing, you know, through the ride height deltas and some things we see, you know, at a road course that is perhaps different than these high downforce tracks that we needed to work on. And, you know, everybody, and that's on TRD side from Joe Gibbs Racing that we partner with so well. And from us internally on just things we can do to control the attitude throughout the lap, through different elements of the track, that we put a big focus on that. And and that was one of the elements, and glad to see it. It's paid off. And I definitely think as a whole, a little more parity this year.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like you alluded to it. NASCAR worked with the OEMs to kind of create that box, right? To get the cars more equal in downforce and drag numbers. And I think it's changed a little bit of how we've seen the outcome of these races. Talk about the tough start to the season for you guys. And were you concerned in that? Did you all have confidence going through that? And then I guess the next piece is what does this win do for you going forward?
Yeah. So I guess the good thing about our rough start to the season was it was just in certain circumstances. You know, we came out of the gate at the Clash, ran really well with both cars. We were contending, you know, up front at Daytona, you know, leading a line, racing for the lead when we got wrecked there. So, you know, the performance side of it, we felt really strong about. We knew we had speed, the relationships and all the communication between both the two teams and between Tyler and our group. Everything was going really well from the very beginning. So it wasn't too concerning. You know, it was definitely, you don't want to be back there in points. We had some situations where the way the metrics added up, we had, you know, bad qualifying efforts and, you know, had an issue at California Vegas, where we weren't even able to qualify. So, you know, there was some things like that at the moment looked really bad. It was certainly not when we walked in the garage and we're back in the 30s in points. It's, you know, not what we intended, but we had a lot of confidence that we would turn that around quickly. And then even the last couple of weeks, being able to contend up front at the very end of the race, you know, coming down to the last couple of laps, you know, thought we had a shot to win both Phoenix and Atlanta. And like you said, now that we've got that win out of the way, certainly eases that. We're not worried about points, and it can change how we approach in certain situations the races going forward, because now we will go for stage wins, not necessarily stage points at all, stage wins and race wins. And, you know, we've got 20 races or so to keep accumulating bonus points for the chase.
This week, the NASCAR Cup Series rolls into Richmond, Virginia, with the package that we have debuted at Phoenix, had a test session at Phoenix. How do we build off from that? What's your expectations for what we're going to see at Richmond?
I enjoyed that racing. I think, you know, having the cars sliding around, it's certainly another added element for it. It provided good racing, I think, in Phoenix and in COTA. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. We, you know, built off of, like you said, Phoenix. We had a practice session there, and everybody's first chance to run that package on track. So got a few notes to build on going into Richmond, but it's going to be a lot of fall off again, managing tires and driving sideways. So, you know, Tyler's one of the best at that. So I think this low downforce package is playing into our hand.
Stage 2 and stage 3, both places like 160, 170 laps. That lets you get a glimpse at which way you want to make that final stage off of stage 2, right?
Right. Yeah, it's going to be another one much like the COTA deal. I have a feeling where, you know, you're going to have guys doing different strategies. And, you know, it's if you're the fastest car like COTA we were, it's a little bit nerve-wracking when guys are doing something different. And, you know, if you're the one running third or fourth and you know your chance at winning and can often be by getting a lucky caution and you can do something different, it's nice to have that option available. So, you know, I think that provides some entertainment for the fans when guys get on different strategies. And like you said, expect to see it maybe a couple times this weekend at Richmond.
And I want to touch back to a couple of road course things. One, Denny made a comment about trying to emulate Tyler in the simulator. And he even commented that he couldn't get there. Like he tried to,
right.
Is Denny involved in your team in that way from an owner? Do you still collaborate with him as a driver as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting relationship. You know, certainly have never been in that situation before where not just have an owner that's a driver, because there's just a few of them out there, right? And have been over the years, but when he's an owner of this team and driving for another one, certainly, a fine line there back and forth and where he can contribute and you know, what that does for him. So, no, we work closely with those guys on a weekly basis. That's the good part is, you know, the relationship between 2311 and JGR is one of the best. It's certainly, I couldn't imagine an alliance that works any more effectively than what we've got. So we're super happy with that. And, you know, Denny being around, he's one of the four drivers, but they all interact pretty well. But yeah, he came over to a session. It was actually, you know, Thursday, right before we headed to the airplane. And Tyler had, you know, it's probably his 10th session in there or whatever. But, you know, he went in there to work on a few last minute things, actually found some, you know, a little more speed there. And Denny was there for most of it, hanging out, listening to the interactions back and forth. And then I think they had a session afterwards, and it's hard to jump in there and do that. I mean, number one, Tyler's perfected his craft on road courses. So, you know, it's certainly hard to match in any given amount of time. But you know, you don't always know how real it is. Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, Denny jumps in there and trying to make sure that tire files and aero maps and all that stuff are actually accurate. There's always that question. And I think that was what we all had going into the race is like, yes, he made speed on a computer. A video game, but how well that translates to reality, you never know till you get there.
Final question for you here, Billy. The buzzword topic, and we don't spend a lot of time here on Crew Call talking about drivers, okay? This is more crew chief and mechanics and nuts and bolts, but the buzzword this week is respect. And one thing that comes out of COTA is Kyle Busch, Alex Bowman, William Byron, those guys were running. They have a lot of respect for your driver. Your driver has apparently over the course of time given them a lot of respect. What is that like as a crew chief to know that on the respect scale, you're on the positive side of that and maybe less opportunity for some shenanigans that have happened over the course of time and will continue to happen with those that don't have that respect?
Yeah, no doubt that's a huge factor. You know, I didn't really know where his respect level stood. You never know what somebody's willing to do to win a race. I'll be honest, I did feel really good once the 8 picked behind us a couple times. you know, Kyle is one of the most respected drivers out there and shows the most respect. You know, it's very seldom you see him in confrontations when it comes down to it on the offensive side. You know, he treats everybody fair. He definitely did an awesome job of racing hard. He was still going for the win. But I think all those guys knew, you know, if they didn't get alongside him and get him cleared before they got to the S's, he was going to be tough to beat. And just the fact that they respected that speed and that, you know, what the work Tyler put in, that says a lot about them. You know, we certainly appreciate it. With all them racing that way, you know, there was certainly some chaos behind us on those final three, four restarts that we had to endure. But thankfully, none of them got up front, able to stay in front of it, and definitely appreciate everybody racing us that way. I'm sure that'll go a long way for him returning the favor when the time comes.
I'm going to hit you with one more. I know Steve said that was last question, but I want to hit this I think it's special. Talk about Kurt Busch being in victory lane and his involvement still in the race team and your race team. It was great to see his emotion on TV. You could really heartfelt emotion of you guys winning and being proud of everybody, but talk about that on your side.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fitting that he was able to be up there, call the race, to have that raw emotion come out in the moment. You know, we don't know it at the time, but, you know, watching it back and listening to him, and that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, he was brought here to help not just build this team, but build the company. He is, you know, one of the most experienced, respected, knowledgeable drivers that there's ever been, you know, a champion, obviously. And he continues to impress us all, continues to be a positive influence. You know, having to deal with what he did and getting taken out of the car, not by choice, having to process all that, it's really easy for somebody to get frustrated and disappear or shut down or, you know, just feel sorry for themselves. And he has been completely the opposite. You know, he has taken it as a lesson and able to pass that along to us. All of us, we now don't take things for granted quite as much as we probably did before. And him being around is a big part of that. So he continues to be here every day. You know, he attends the meetings. He's at the racetrack. He's out there walking the track with us. You know, he's a integral part of it. He'll go to the sim sessions. He has so much value from the driver's side, from even giving us comments of what he sees them doing sometimes during the race, just to be able to key up on them on the intercom and say, hey, look, I think you need to ask this question, or hey, you need to think about this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an integral part of the race team. He is as much a part of this win as anybody on our team. And for him to get to call it, but then be there to celebrate at the track in victory lane. And, you know, I know it's been his car. It was his car when it was made, and he wants to be out there, but he's done a great job embracing Tyler. He loves him. He's the biggest supporter of him there could be. And you know, glad he could be a part of it. It was enjoyable.
Enjoyable for sure. It really was. Kurt Busch, a huge asset for wherever he's been over the course of his career. He's made the teams better along the way. And even in the non-driver role, he continues to do that. Billy, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Congratulations on the win. And we'll see you at Richmond this week. But thanks again for the time here on Crew Call.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
There we go. Billy Scott, 2311 crew chief for Tyler Reddick, joining us here. Stay with us. More in just a moment.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back to Crew Call. Steve Post and Todd Gordon here. And boy, I tell you what, I always love my visits, whether it's in the garage area, leaning up against a stack of Goodyears, or here on Crew Call. Billy Scott, man, he really breaks it down, and fascinating guy, and love seeing the success he's having.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Work with Billy back. First time I really worked with him was 2010 MWR. Great person, great guy, very, very articulate, very attention to detail. He's a great leader, and I think they're going to do some special things. Cool. He and Tyler, I think it's a great pairing, and look forward to what they can do.
I do too. I think that is a great pairing as well. All right, Richmond this weekend, and you and Billy talked about it. This is one of those as a pit road reporter. This is one of those. Make sure you have an extra pen, because you're going to be jotting down. The other thing that I love as a pit road reporter is when we have Todd Gordon at these strategy races. So we're not going to have Todd Gordon at these strategy races, but
Richmond 2, you go to.
A lot of strategy, specifically with stage 2 and 3, the length of those stages. Yep. We have been all over the map with these cars, and I would expect more of the same.
I think we saw, you know, I was there for the spring race last year, and it was interesting. I'm trying to remember what it was. Martin Truex did one strategy. I think he two-stopped the second stage and won the stage. And then James Small single-stopped the third stage and didn't end up getting there. Rudy Fugel tried to do it on a one-stop, and I thought it was interesting because he did that. And Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick both double-stopped it, and they were slicing through the field. It was really exciting to watch because I saw it coming from about 25 to go and just dicing through, trying to get through traffic. It was almost like Denny and Kevin knew that whichever one of them got out front was going to win.
Yeah.
Like, because they ended up catching William Byron with, I think, 5 to go.
Yeah.
And
it was that chaos of, will they get there? Will they get there? Will they get there?
Yes. And you felt like it was. Now, the caveat I think that we'll see this year is at Phoenix, when we went to this lower downforce, I don't feel like the tire fall off was as big. So it may play back into the one stop. So all these crew chiefs have got to be looking at these same things and saying, what are we going to do? And I feel like stage 2, if it goes green, is going to be the one that kind of prepares you for where you can be for stage. Now, there's going to be a caution in the middle of stage 2 and nobody's going to know what to do. I love Richmond. It's such great racing. Two different corners, big sweeping turn 1. Tight as can be, turn 3. It's a great show.
No doubt. Really, really good stuff. While we're at Richmond, the Truck Series is off of Texas. The Zane Smith, Chris Lawson show continues. Man, oh man, what a start they're having to this year.
They're duplicating what they did last year,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Other than they got disqualified at Vegas last year,
and
they didn't
this
year. So kudos to those guys. And you see it. You know, they brought some more things in into house. Talked to Chris about that.
Yep.
With the departure of DGR going to being Tricon and Toyota, they've had to do more of it internally, and they've not lost a step at all.
Now, Truck Series standalone, so it's the modified pit stops. We're going to do a little bit of different pit strategy down there. It'll be interesting to see who does that. None of those cup interlopers or interlopers. Yep. Really good test to see what happens. So fascinating to see what happens down at Texas.
Yeah, we got great racing in two different places. We got the trucks and IndyCar down in Texas. We got trucks Saturday afternoon. We've got Xfinity and Cup at Richmond. Xfinity being an early afternoon race.
But we start before that Friday night. NASCAR Wheel and Modifieds at Richmond.
The Modifieds at Richmond.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I've been pumped up about this since the schedule came out.
Yeah.
Motor Racing Network, a busy, busy weekend. Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. It is, the racing is for, Virginia is for Racing Lovers 150 NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Race. 3 broadcasts on Saturday, 10 a.m., NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying from Richmond. 12:30 Eastern time, the Toyota Care 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race from Richmond, and 4 p.m. in the afternoon, Speedy Cash 250 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series from Texas Motor Speedway, and then Sunday afternoon, 2:30, the Toyota Owners 400 NASCAR Cup Series race. Busy, busy week, multiple locations, all hands on deck, all series are racing. This is fun NASCAR season we're getting into now.
Saturday would be a great road trip day. Tune into MRN,
put the top down on the convertible and just go for a ride.
Racing all day long.
Absolutely. So it is good. And we have weekly shows you can catch up with as well. NASCAR Live Tuesday night, our Tuesday night tradition. NASCAR Live Wide Open, which is NASCAR Live plus a lot more. That podcast, drops on Thursday. NASCAR Coast to Coast covering the roots, including NASCAR Wheel and Modified Racing. Wing Nation covering sprint cars. And, of course, this NASCAR Crew Call. So make sure you are subscribing and following along to the entire podcast offering that MRN has. Going to miss you at Richmond this week, but I'm sure you have a good spot to watch the race from, and we'll look forward to breaking it all down next week here on Crew Call.
Yeah, can't wait.
There we go. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post. Thanks for joining us this week here on Crew Call on the Motor Racing Network.